Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
No subject. I jack my duck on your back. I slept with you in bed. Duck your knowledge, batch. I've been all pro before I even knew you. Duck out of here, my baby mama. Trick your dumb base. Next time you and your mama plotting on a come up, make sure all you hoes pick the right man, dumb base hoes. Somebody you already trucked, your mama controlling your life. Like she gone, help the come up. That's a particularly powerful passage. You a nobody. Me, blacked out, a laugh about this spit. Me bussing on your back. My baby mama know a weak batch when she spot one. You played yourself. Laughing smiley faces. Let's see if we can break that down.
Man, maybe the best sound ever on the B-Show right there. Bob Valvano ring. Antonio Brown tweets. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. Hey, I want to tell you about my friends at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. 27 area locations, walk-in, drive-through delivery. Cox's and Evergreens. That's Louisville's go-to liquor store. You know what it is. It's Weird Wednesday. It's also buy three, get one free cigar Wednesday for Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. Go check them out. They have the wine, the craft beer, domestic beer, imported beer, bourbon, high-end bourbon, mixed bourbon, everything you need. A one-stop shop party place. That's right, Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. That's Louisville's go-to liquor store. Cox'sLouisville.com, 437-9680. Texter says, didn't know, realize Game of Thrones was a documentary. So there we go with that. We'll do some more of that. Tanner is efforting Kendrick Haskins. We're a little late, so maybe he's probably like, oh, I guess they forgot about me. So hopefully, there he is. All right, we got him on. Kendrick Haskins from Wave 3 in just 1 second. Been a show today that's been highly entertaining. It's been all over the place. The content's been good, though. Kendrick Haskins with us. Thank you. Sorry we're late here, Kendrick. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's been running around all day anyway, so it's all good.
I hear you, and I appreciate you once again moving your spot to 5 today. Phil Baker was filling in with me today because Anna's on a – listen to this. You'll love this, Kendrick. You'll love this. Anna Tarullo right now, she's on a sailboat over by Captain's Quarters. How about that?
Of course she is. she lives a life that we'll never understand.
Oh, she does.
Yeah. She lives a life of luxury that we will never experience.
Running around with Maria Montgomery, getting into these high profile clubs that a guy like me, if I walked up and said, I want to go to your club tonight, they'd be like, get out of here. But she walks up, they're like, yes, ma'am, come right in. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Kendrick.
We'll never know what that life is like.
Absolutely not. Kendrick Haskins with us, Wave 3. What's the big story going on at Wave 3 right now? You said you had to record some hits here today, and so it worked out for you to move around. So what's the big story going on Wave 3? What are you covering today, Kendrick?
You know, UK baseball, they left for Omaha today, so we got a little bit of that. Our sister station in Lexington is sending us that. And then we've got Trinity and PRP playing in a state semifinal baseball game on Friday.
Yeah.
We have Assumption playing in the state semifinals on Friday. And we have Providence playing in the state championship over in Indiana on Saturday. So,
wow.
Pretty baseball and softball heavy around here right now.
How about that? Now, who pulled the straw to go out to Omaha? Who got that assignment?
We're holding off. We're going to hold off.
Okay.
See if they get out of that opening round robin, because Omaha is a kind of a hard trip to plan for.
It is.
One. It's about a 10.5-hour drive from here, and then if you fly, it's still going to be about a 10-hour day because you fly into Chicago, and you have a long layover in Midway, then you fly into the Omaha airport. As you can tell, I've done this trip many a time.
With Louisville baseball, yes.
Yeah, so like, and it's one of those things, you can go and you can be there for 4 days, or you can be there for 10.
Right.
And so we're holding off until we know that, you know, they're going to advance to that next round.
And that's a smart thing to do, because like you said, you could be there for a very short time, or you could be there for, you know, over a week. And, you know, UK baseball swimming in new waters for them as they swept the regionals. They sweep the super regional as well. And, you know, Nick Mingione and the Cats have now risen to this pinnacle of college baseball. And, you know, who would have seen that coming, Kendrick? I mean, last year they did make a super regional. They lost to LSU. And not only to repeat that performance, but to exceed that performance. UK baseball is one hell of a story right now.
And not only are they playing well and they make it, they're playing great.
I mean,
to hold that Oregon State lineup to just 3 hits for the weekend, I mean, that's a phenomenal in itself. So they're playing really good baseball. I've become a giant fan of Devin Burks, the catcher.
Yes.
Because he's a great player as it is, but I've never seen the catcher pump up his pitcher more than he does, no matter what the ball, strike, whatever.
Right.
And usually he probably is more encouraging after they throw a bad pitch.
Yes.
He is encouraging. You could tell he is a leader on that team. I've become a giant fan of his.
And I have 4 kids, but one's only 7 months old. But my 3 kids that are old enough, they're all catchers too. Kendrick, my daughter's a softball catcher, and my two sons there, my oldest and my middle son, they're both baseball catchers. And my oldest is a big Kentucky fan, and he's been locked in, Kendrick, and he loves watching Burke play, and he's like taking notes on what he does and how positive he is with his pitcher. So I'm glad you brought that up. So let's say, hypothetical scenario, Kentucky makes it out of the first round of the round robin and they go out. Now, is that a Dusty Baker assignment? Is that a Kendrick Haskins assignment? Who gets to go out there and enjoy Omaha? Because you're right, that's a tough trip to make, and it ain't cheap either.
Right. Now, it'll be Dusty. You know, Dusty's such a baseball fan.
He is.
And he's never been to the College World Series. And so I love the opportunity for him to be able to go to experience it, because it is a fun experience, especially when you love baseball like he does. I think it'd be a great experience for him. So, yeah, I'll let him go on that trip.
Now, even if he gets to go, if he goes and he partakes in the Jell-O shot competition, make sure that he ask him, or I might even text him. I'll text him and say, look, Dusty, I know you're not a Kentucky fan, but when you do the Jell-O shot, make sure that it goes to the Kentucky tally, okay? Make sure they know.
Oh, it has to.
Yes.
But, you know, this is the great thing about Omaha. It's one of the little gems about actually being there. By Kentucky being the newcomer, the city of Omaha rallies around the newcomers that come to the College World Series.
Really?
So like that first year, that first year when U of L went, we were seeing all these U of L hats, and I was like, I know there's no way in the world that this many U of L fans came to Omaha,
right,
Nebraska in June. And that's what it was. A lot of the fans in Omaha were buying little U of L gear and cheering for U of L because they were the newcomers in the College World Series.
Oh, so you got like the local
Big
bump.
Blue is gonna have, Yeah, so they're going to get an extra little bump of fans there just from the residents of Omaha.
That's really, really cool. So the hometown fans, those that live in Omaha, and you know, they make, this is probably where they make all their money. This is probably a huge economic week or week and a half for them, to where they make all their money for the year. And so when they come in, they're taking Kentucky or the newcomers under their wing. I do love that. That's awesome. Kendrick Haston's with us. Wave 3. Check him out tonight. He's got all the baseball updates, high school, college, whatever you want. He's got them for you. Now, today, I don't know if you saw this or not, Kendrick. John Rothstein, he sent out the list. He tweeted out the list of the ACC-SEC Challenge, and Kentucky's is kind of like, eh, whatever. They're playing at Clemson, which Clemson is fresh off an Elite Eight, and, you know, Brad Brownell's been there for a while, so we'll see. They played UNC last year in the CBS Sports Classic, and they played Duke this year in the Champions Classic, so I'm not surprised that they didn't get Duke or UNC. But the interesting game here, locally, Kendrick, is Louisville welcoming Chris Beard and Ole Miss into the Yum Center, and then the reason why that's interesting is because there was a push from, and you weren't one of these folks, by the way, Kendrick. I mean, you were very much like, hey, they don't need that baggage. But there were a lot of Louisville fans that advocated that Josh Hurd hire Chris Beard. So it puts Pat Kelsey in an interesting situation, to where he's welcoming in a coach that some Louisville fans really wanted to succeed Kenny Payne as he was fired.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's great TV. Well, I think with the fan base now at this point, they're so happy with Pat Kelsey. A lot of them probably don't even remember that they wanted to have Chris Beard at one point.
Good points. Selective memory. Right.
Right. Like, yeah, that the Men in Black thing. They looked into that little black thing.
Right.
Memory. but it's great TV. It's just like, you know, when the NCAA tournament comes along, St. John's is going to be in the same bracket as one of the two.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Whenever UofL finally makes the tournament again, they're going to be pitted against Rick Pitino again at some point. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's what TV's supposed to do. And at the end of the day, it is a TV show.
Sure.
So it will be interesting. UK at Clemson, I'm surprised that they, because I would think they would put UK in a marquee game either way.
Yeah.
I would think they would get either, you know, they're not going to play Louisville, but you would think they'd get Duke, Carolina, or Virginia every time.
Virginia would have been Clemson's perfect. I agree.
I don't know. I don't know if you want to watch that game, because nobody really wants to watch Virginia play basketball. Only Lachlan.
Only Lachlan, yeah.
The only one who will sit there and watch that voluntarily.
That punishment.
Right. Yeah, just putting needles through your own eyes watching that.
Well, also, I mean, today also, Kendrick Haston's with us. We'll go a little national here. Jerry West passed away. I mean, he's the icon. He is the label, the logo for the NBA. You know, a Laker for life. And someone tweeted out, like, you know, how the Jerry West, he had to bow out before the Celtics win another championship. So, you know, he's a true Laker. But just thoughts on Jerry West and what he meant to the National Basketball Association and being an executive and a damn good executive throughout his career after he retired as a player.
Like you said, he's the logo. I mean, he's a legend. He is basketball. He was, you know, he was Magic and Bird before Magic and Bird came along. He was a big part of that Lakers-Celtics rivalry. He's the only player to ever win the NBA Finals MVP on the losing team.
Yes.
That alone shows you how great of a player he was, and it's all overshadowed by how great of an executive he was. I mean, he's the one that pulled the trigger on that trade to get Kobe Bryant from Charlotte to the Lakers. I mean, if it wasn't for Jerry West, Kobe Bryant probably would have been a Charlotte Hornet for most of his career, or probably would have eventually left Charlotte.
Right.
But he wouldn't have started his career in L.A. He's the one that put that together with Shaq and Kobe and Phil Jackson and all that stuff. He's been the architect of not just with the Lakers. I mean, he's put a lot of those Grizzlies teams together.
Yep.
I think he was with the Clippers here at the end. And, like, he's been so integral to everything in the NBA, both on the floor and off the floor. He's a true legend. He will be missed.
Oh, yeah, those Grizzly teams with Mark Gasol, your boy, Z-Bo, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And those were competitive teams. I mean, they didn't win a title, but they were in it just about every single year. Kendrick Haskins with us. What do you make of anything to deal with Caitlin Clark right now is a controversy. I mean, everything's a controversy, but the newest one, Caitlin Clark being left off the Team USA roster. Obviously, a lot of people saying, hey, if you want people to watch the Olympics and watch the women's team, you need to put Caitlin Clark on there. People saying, well, you know, she hadn't been in the league long enough, and folks like Donna Taurasi deserve to go out on their own terms. It's not about, you know, eyes on the TV. It's about winning gold, and these are the best players to get us there. Any thoughts on any of that? Her discussions and everything that she does dominates the discussion in the WNBA right now, for good or for bad.
I know it's unfortunate that everything she does dominates all their coverage, because it's like, you know, they're like, well, how are you going to grow the game? Well, how much is it really growing the game when you're only talking about one person?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it was a good point I've heard about. Multiple former players that have been on shows, like, okay, even if she did make the team, she's going to ride the bench because she's behind all of those players.
Right.
And so she's not one of the 12 best players in the league. And so, and there's better players that were left off that nobody's talking about. And so if she'll have her time, and be honest with you, I bet if you got her in an honest moment, she'd probably tell you she's looking forward to the break. I mean, the child's been playing basketball nonstop since November.
Right, right.
She needs a break, and you can see it on her face. You can see it in that air ball that she had.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday, the day before yesterday? She airballed a shot from like 3 feet from the basket. I mean, she's exhausted. She's probably welcoming the break, and she deserves the break. And this will be the last Olympic team that she doesn't make. She's going to make. And to me, I think, everybody's talking about the marketing. Well, for one, people are going to watch the Olympics, and they need to get over that. The bump
100%.
She's going to give the Olympic ratings is not going to be that great. And either way, it's not going to turn anything. But for her first Olympics to be in, 28 in L.A.?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I think if you're looking at it as for the long play, it's an even better marketing term to do it that way, because she's gonna build up. She's gonna build up. She's gonna be even bigger than she probably is now.
Right.
Because by then she will be a legit star in the WNBA and probably will be competing for titles by that point. And she'll be an even bigger star. And so in the long run, they're doing right by her for her rest wise, for her reputation in the league, because there's going to be plenty of players. If she got on that team,
oh, yeah,
over players that deserved it. I mean, you think it's bad now with the hard fouls.
Imagine the fallout there.
Fight on the Olympic team. Right. So I think in the long run, it is the better move. And she's going to be great. She's not there yet, but she's going to be great.
She's showing flashes. I mean, she had that 30-point game. You know, she's showing what she can do. And, yeah, her time will be there. I completely agree with you. Kendrick Haskins with us, Wave 3. One more for you, Kendrick, and we'll let you go. NBA Finals continues tonight. The big story, obviously, Kristaps Porzingis with his injury that I cannot pronounce that everyone is telling me is super rare, and he's questionable for the game. If he's out, because he's been so damn good in these finals, I mean, kind of just coming, it's not like he's coming out of nowhere, but he's been better than people have expected him to be. The Mavs now maybe have a window to win one or two games now in Dallas as Boston tries to figure out, or is there just too much firepower between Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the rest of that Celtics team?
I think there's a window. I think there's even a window if Porzingis played, just because going back to Dallas, I think Kyrie is pressing a lot in Boston.
Yes, he is.
Because of all the history there. I think there's a window. And with Porzingis, this is what drives you crazy and makes you feel bad for his career, because he's such a good player.
He is, but he's injury ridden.
But he cannot stay healthy for anything. And with his build, which is very similar to Wemby's, you worry about that with Wembanyama in the future, too.
Great point.
The way the built. And, you know, throughout the history of the league, if you think about it, seven-footers, where they always have problems with their lower extremities. And so you worry about that. But hopefully Porzingis, whatever this injury is, hopefully he can get over it and get back playing in this finals, because he's such a good player, and you kind of root for a guy like that who has had so many injuries and has so much potential, and to finally get to the finals and then the injuries creep up on him again. So hopefully he can get back out there on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you answer one more? I lied. There's one more big story I had to get to. Where do the Lakers turn now that Dan Hurley opted to stay in Connecticut, which blew me away? Like, I thought for sure with the money they were going to offer him, the prestige of playing in L.A., and that next challenge, he's conquered college basketball. The next challenge, the NBA, that's the holy grail for a lot of these college coaches. Now who do they turn to? I mean, J.J. Redick's a name that keeps popping up, but, I mean, he's never coached before. I don't know if that would be a smart move.
Well, my intern, who's from out in California, she could probably recommend her head basketball coach at her high school to take over the Lakers. So U of L women's basketball player Jada Curry is interning with us this summer.
Oh, cool!
For the record, she's more of a Golden State fan because she has to be with that number and that last name.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But, her coach would probably be more likely to take over as head coach of the Lakers than any established head coach in the NBA, because nobody wants to deal with LeBron.
Well, that's the one thing nobody's really talking about is the LeBron factor and how, you know, he's the de facto head coach and you're just kind of a figurehead when it comes down to it.
Right. I mean, Kendrick Perkins has been alluding to it, and now all of a sudden LeBron stops following him on Twitter.
So. Yeah. There's beef. There's big Perk and LeBron beef.
And then they had 10 minutes talking about it on TV, and I don't know why.
Tanner, that's my producer, Tanner. Yeah, they had a 10-minute segment on just that topic alone, LeBron unfollowing Kendrick Perkins on Twitter.
That lets you know that it's June.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. It's a June topic. Hey, we had to create contact our content any way we can, Kendrick. That's what we gotta do here.
Right.
You know how it
that's
is.
Right. Well, you have to talk for hours. You gotta talk about something.
Yeah, I deal with it every day, 3 hours. I just talk about aliens and UFOs for about 40 minutes. So that
trust me. I am not envious of what you have to do every day. I just got to fill a couple minutes.
Exactly. There you go. Well, Kendrick, man, appreciate the time. If Kentucky makes it, I'll make sure to text Dusty and let him know where his allegiances should lie in the Jello Shot Challenge. And we'll talk to you next week, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for moving today.
I'll answer the question for you. The allegiance will lie with Kentucky.
There we go. All right. All right. Kendrick Haskins, Wave 3. We'll check you out tonight, Kendrick. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. There we go. Our weekly spot with our guy, Kendrick Haskins. And then he's right, Tanner. Anna Trullo lives a life that we'll never know. Like, we'll never understand what her life's like. It's just. Yeah.
We didn't ask him, though, because he got.
He did? I didn't see that.
When the news really was Hurley's going or like talking to them.
Yeah.
A fake Dan Hurley account tweeted out like, just told the players, thank you, like, to UConn. I will be taking, like, I'm going to LA now. And then so it popped up on my Twitter because I follow Kendrick.
Right.
And then it said retweeted by Kendrick Haskins.
Yeah.
And then I looked and then I was like, oh, that's a fake account. And so he got.
Oh, it happened to me too. Yeah, it wasn't that same account, but there's another account that was breaking news, Dan Hurley accepts LA job. He will inform the players, da 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 da. And I retweeted it and immediately 10 people.
Yeah.
Lachlan McClain actually DM'd me. He's like, James, he's like, Stribble, you just got. He's like, that's not real.
Did you see Buster Onley's? Only.
Yeah.
Did you see his account got hacked?
No.
Oh man. So
his got so Hulk
I took,
Hogan's
I took,
account
I took
got,
screenshots of it before he deleted them back.
Good for you, smart young man.
I saw it. So at first, I'm on Twitter and I see Shohei Ohtani has been banned for life from the MLB in connection and charges to charges with gambling. So I see that, I'm like, oh my god, that's Buster. Like verified and everything, and I was like, oh my god. And then the next tweet is, I see the season is canceled due to COVID, and I was like, wait, what's going on?
What's going on here?
And then Baltimore Orioles are relocating to Las Vegas and the Oakland A's will stay in Oakland. Then there's the other one, the Mets are finalizing a deal to send Francisco Lindor to the Oakland Athletics. Then I was like, all right, wait, what is going on here?
Right.
And then Phillies and the Chicago White Sox are finalizing a deal that would send outfielder Luis Robert Jr. to Philadelphia. And then there's just, I hate Mets.
Wow.
I swear to you, I don't even know who I hacked. Who is this Buster?
Oh my god. So okay, so it's Buster Olney's actual account and it got hacked. It's not like a fake Buster Olney. It's no, Buster Olney.
But he super got hacked and it was all like, and then literally like 5 minutes after I checked the account again and it got all like all of it got deleted. Perfect timing though to get that
good
screenshot.
For you to get the screenshots. Now did you see Hulk Hogan's account actually it got hacked too?
Oh, God.
And it was like, come poop in my gym, bro.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't see that.
And so he had to release an apology and deleted a bunch of tweets and everything. And I think Instagram posts, too. I think, like, all his social media got hacked. So Buster Olney and Hulk Hogan, they
probably
can
probably has, like, the same password for everything, just
yes.
Brother.
Brother, yeah. Yeah, WDF champ brother. That's probably what it is. But, yeah, I mean, so even the big shots can get hacked, too. I've been hacked before, and even Buster Olney and Hulk Hogan can get hacked. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. On the other end, I want to get to this Phil Steele story about how he thinks the Cats and the Cards, he also mentions Indiana, but who cares, how the Cats and the Cards will fare this season in football. Maybe surprising some folks. We'll do that more next here on the Roundtable.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Louis sucks, where's Issel?
That's a good question.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Where is Dan? Dan Issel, the missile! Issel missile! I miss the Issel missiles. I do miss the Issel missiles and Fox News very much. All right, it's the Round Table here at ESPN 680 105.7. Final segment on your Wednesday. It's Wednesday. That means Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville tonight. Tomorrow, you can catch Jeff Milby and Benton Newman for Soccer City, 6 p.m. here on ESPN 680 105.7. Friday, inside Churchill Downs. Maybe they'll be out there at Double Dogs enjoying some dog bowl nachos and some cold beers at 6 p.m. tomorrow here on this station. Saturday down the stretch, 9 a.m., 93.9 The Ville. Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Lightsey Jr. and James Black, 10 to 11 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. That was orgasmic. Sunday is the Sunday Morning Hangover with Nick Curran, Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell, 10 to noon, ESPN 680, 105.7. There we go. I got through most of that promo sheet today with James Black's lurking back there. He's lurking. he has full reign now. He's roaming around, playing some sounds. I love it. It reminds me of like when Justin Sofro used to come in here and hijack the show and play a bunch of sounds. I don't know. Okay, I'm good now. All right. 437-9680 EPS jobs text line. I'll read some text here in a minute. We've been so busy. I've been bad on the text line today. I apologize to everybody. I'm sure your texts have been fire. So I meant to get around with this with Anna yesterday, but we ran out of time because we got off on some side conversations as well. But Phil still he released his annual football preview, right? And so what Rick Bozich does, and I really appreciate this from Rick Bozich, is he usually picks out the most important pieces from the local teams. and puts them over on WDRB.com. And so he did that with Athlon last week, and he did this with Phil Steele this week, okay? So what does Phil Steele, what does he say about the Cards and the Cats? And again, I don't really care about, sorry, no offense, IU fans, I don't care about you all or WKU, no offense to you all either, but it's what it is. But it says here, let's see here, Tyler Shuck is ranked no better than the 56th quarterback prospect for the NFL draft. Mark Stoops has assembled the 8th best defensive line and 13th best collection of linebackers in the nation, portending a dominant defensive season at the University of Kentucky. But the Wildcats are slotted in a 3-way tie for 11th with South Carolina and Auburn, ahead of only Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt in the SEC. Let's see here. So where does Steele rank Louisville, Kentucky, as far as the national scene? Bozich writes, Steele aligns himself with Athlon, ranking the Cards ahead of the Wildcats, even though Kentucky will carry a 5-game winning streak into the Governor's Cup, which is booked for Kroger Field on the last Saturday in November. So he's got the Cats ranked ahead of the Cards, or the Cards ranked ahead of the Cats. They're number 23 in his rankings, Kentucky 31. So he likes the Cats a little bit better than the Cards. And I'll wrap.
I love the Louisville Cards.
Very misleading, Tanner. Very misleading. Also says, can Louisville win another ACC, or sorry, go to another ACC conference title game? He has the Cards in a 4-way tie with SMU, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech, which I found a little surprising. He says Steele had a challenging time trying to separate the ACC's top teams. He put Clemson, Florida State, and, of course, Miami.
Oh, we're doing this again. But the Miami thing, it's not 03. It's not 2000.
It continues to baffle me every single season.
But the U.
The U's up there. The U's going to be back. And like, Mario Cristobal's been a dunce at the U. I mean, he's mishandled live in-game play calling. He's mishandled recruiting. He's mishandled NIL. I mean, he's not been good. But they still
mishandled a Neil at the end.
Yes. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, in-game play calling, he's been terrible. Oh. But they still continue to give Miami this magical benefit of the doubt, even though they haven't earned it. They've done nothing to earn it. They've been whatever, regular or bad. Like, those are your options. You're talking about Miami football here recently, and they had that flare-up under Mark Rick that 1 year.
Dude, that was a cool year, though.
It's a cool year.
Oh, my God. I for a minute, I was like, oh.
Maybe they are back.
Maybe they are back.
They had the turnover chain. They're the first team to have a turnover chain. They were cool. And then they faded back into obscurity. And then, they've been bad or whatever ever since. But they continue to give Miami this boost. And I know they've got a lot of good dudes coming in. Their roster's stacked. They have a very talented roster. But they've had that, too. I mean, they've had talented teams. They've had good rosters. They still haven't done anything. So I'm with you, Tanner. I don't understand how they continue to put Miami up there in these conversations.
Yeah, no, there's no reason. FSU, yeah, that's fine. I obviously.
Sure. Clemson, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Clemson, no.
I'm with you on Clemson.
I'm not going to get mad at when people are like, oh, maybe they'll do it. Like, yeah, Dabo, yeah, he had his.
He's won some titles. Yeah, you know, like, I'll give him
the benefit of the doubt. But Cristobal and the Canes, no.
No. No. And it's interesting because most people think. Now I'll get to Kentucky here in a minute. Most people think that Louisville's upgraded on their quarterback situation. Over, you know, Jack Plummer is gone. Tyler Shuck is here. I think people like, and I'm talking about people, I'm talking about national analysts, people like Phil Steele, like him better than they like Jack Plummer when Jack Plummer came along at Louisville. So I thought that, and again, Louisville was very good, the transfer portal, top three transfer portal class. I figured, especially since they made it last year, and their schedule's a little more difficult, but not by that much, that they say, okay, Jeff Brohm did it in his first year in the ACC. He's a good coach. He's got the quarterback that he didn't have last year, even though he is injury prone. They view him as a better quarterback. That they put Louisville back up there, but no, they have him down there. And it's not like they're far down. I mean, still, though, they're with SMU, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech. That kind of was surprising to me.
No, I just don't get it.
I don't either. Everyone loves Jeff Brohm. Jeff Brom's a better coach.
I love him too, but like,
he's a better coach than Mario Cristobal.
Oh yeah, that's no doubt.
I think we could agree on that. Yeah. And I'm a hater. I'm a professional hater. That's what I am, Tanner. But I can sit here and I can be objective and say, okay, if I'm going to pick a coach to coach my team, if Mark Stoops leaves, and this is a hypothetical situation, Louisville fans, don't worry, I'm not trying to steal your coach. But if it's down between Mitch Barnhart had to decide between Mario Cristobal and Jeff Brohm, I'm choosing Jeff Brohm 10 out of 10 times.
Let's play football.
Yeah, then, well, I don't need all that, but that's I am. I'm choosing Jeff Brohm over Mario Cristobal every single time.
I know James is hearing this and be like, ooh.
Oh, he's rubbing his hands back there. James, this is making James happy. So that's kind of how they view the cards, okay? He also put 3 Cardinals on his ACC first team. Michael Gonzalez on the offensive line. Receiver Colin Lacey. And then Ashton Gelati is also a first-team All-American. Okay, he ranked Louisville's quarterback room only the 9th best in the league. And the running back room 8th. Tempering his optimism about Brohm's second Cardinals team. If Shuck or Pierce Clarkson delivers a quarterback, Steele says UofL has the best collection of receivers, led by Lacey, Chris Bell, and Corey Brooks. So I guess that is what is the hesitation for these national pundits is the quarterback question. And I think that's fair.
Well, that was the same thing last year.
Yes. It's weird to me because I think they value Tyler Shuck more. And again, we'll see. He's yet to stay healthy.
Yeah.
All right. So what does he say about Kentucky in the SEC? It's not great. It says, remember, no more division play in the SEC. Texas and Oklahoma have joined the scrum and still stuck both traditional powers ahead of the Wildcats, as he should. I don't disagree with that. I think both Oklahoma and Texas will be hell. Texas is a national title contender. Like people are putting their quarterback room as like the best one in the nation, not just in the SEC, in the entire country.
I might put a few dollars down on Ewers to win the Heisman. Like,
yeah,
it's not too crazy.
Not crazy, yeah. If he stays healthy and yeah. he grows.
He's a dog, and he's like a. Is he? He's not a fifth year.
No, he's not 50. No. I think he's just a straight-up senior.
Yeah,
he could have gone to the NFL this year because that was his third year in college, but he opted to come back. But with him and then obviously Arch Manning sitting there waiting in the wings and some Texas fans, you know, growing.
Oh, man, I'm so mad I can't play with him in the football or the video game.
Now, why is he not in there?
He was one of the people that was like, I'm not.
He opted out of it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because Quinn Ewers is like on the cover.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the high-profile, like, players that they're going to highlight, but Arch Manning opted out of it?
It was, like, during the same time that, like, Caleb Williams was like, oh, I don't want to be a part of it, and, like, everyone just came back like, we don't care. Like, we just want to have the game.
Put us in there, yeah.
Like, we can always just create them, too.
Like, as long as I can play with Brock Vandergriff, Tyler. Oh, that's all I care about. As long as I can be BVG. That's the thing I care about. So he also said he loves... Look, here this goes back to what I said last week, and I think this is going to be the story of Kentucky football all season long. Bozich writes, he loves the UK defensive line, linebackers and secondary, ranking all 3 units among the top 5 in the SEC. So he continued to hear the narrative that Kentucky is going to have one of the better defenses in the conference. But, and that's a big but, maybe got back, he's not sold on the Kentucky offense, ranking UK's running backs ahead of only Vanderbilt and the quarterback 11th in the league. Still, with 8 home games and ascending Missouri off their schedule, Steele said Kentucky could top the projected over-under win total of 6.5. So to me, the story, and we'll get more into football as the summer continues to creep along. We'll start having more football guests probably in July leading up to summer camp. Or I hate when they call it fall camp. It's not fall. They start camp in July. It goes into August. They're done by the fall. It's not fall camp, it's summer camp, but that's a whole other topic. The story for UK for me, Tanner, is going to be the story of Mark Stoops' tenure at Kentucky. They're going to have, very likely, a great defense that's going to be dominant.
Walker's back, right?
Walker's back.
I mean, he's got like 9 fingers or something.
No, that's JJ Weaver.
That was
he's got 6 fingers on one hand.
Oh, that yes. Yeah, he's 6 extra one.
Yeah, Deion Walker's going to be a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he is.
You know, he He's a freak.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's an absolute freak. He's a stud. The linebacker room is fantastic. The secondary brought back Maxwell Harrison. They're a year older. So you think this defense is going to be really, really good. And they're going to limp out there with, you know, an offensive line that still needs a lot of work. They fired Zach Yenser, brought in Brad Wolford. We'll see if he can make any type of adjustments, improvements to that line. I'm in a wait and see mode with that. And then the running back room is a big question mark, which is the first time the running back room has been a big question mark. They don't have a Ray Davis. They don't have a Benny Snell. They don't have a Chris Rodriguez. They don't have a Boone Williams. They've been so good on the line and in that running back room, that was their bread and butter. So you could say, okay, good defense for Stoops, and they'll have a running game. You can't say that with this Kentucky team. You can say good defense. We don't know if their running game is going to be any good. We don't know if Brock Vandergrift can be any good. We don't know if Berrian Brown and Dane Key and some of those receivers are going to make another step because they were mid most of the year last season. They did not live up to expectations.
I remember making fun of I'm already blanking on your QB's name because
Devin Leary.
Because there were times where I was like, this guy sucks. All right, it's not even his fault. Like
sometimes it wasn't.
Like a lot of drops.
A lot of bad route running.
They're young though, right? They were a couple.
They were sophomores last year. Yeah. So they'll be juniors this year. So they should. Here's the weird thing to me, Tanner.
I expect to step up at least.
They were better as freshmen than they were as sophomores. They were better.
Yeah.
Dane Key specifically. Berrian Brown was kind of the same. I mean, I think he's a good receiver, but his speed is what sets him at that elite level. Like, he has NFL speed. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be an NFL wide receiver, but he has at least one tool in his tool bag. There you go, Sufro. That sets him apart from others is his speed. He has elite speed. Dane Key was a guy his freshman year that's able to make tough catches because of his height, jump up, get those 50-50 balls. He'd be able to do that. And last year, he was probably the most egregious when it came to drops. He dropped everything. And it's just one of those things where they were a letdown last year. Devin Leary is a letdown.
I remember especially the drops. I think it was Akron, the Akron game.
Oh, yeah.
Only reason why I was close through like the third until like then the doors opened up. But
yeah, they ended up winning by a lot. But no, you're right. It was the drop. So you had these two wide receivers, and Tavion Robinson is gone. He was very good. He's out of there. So you had these two very good wide receivers that were underwhelming. You have a running back room where, like, nobody in that running back room, either A, you know who they are, or B, can trust going there and carry the rock the way some of these other running backs used to do. And their offensive line has been the worst it's been under Mark Stoops. So six and a half is the number. I don't know, man. That schedule's as tough as it's ever been under Mark Stoops. I find it very hard to go over that. I think best case scenario with Kentucky, unless they catch lightning in a bottle, and Brock Vandergrift is a stud, and Dane Key and Berrian Brown, you know, rise to the expectation. The offensive line is upgraded, and one of those running backs actually ends up being pretty good. It's hard for me to put them in a level where I'm like, oh yeah, they'll win over that 6.5. I don't buy it. I'm going under 6.5. I'm having 6-6. Louisville's interesting because they have all the players that they need. Can they do it? that's the question. Is can they do it? Can they repeat? Can Jeff Brohm build on what he did last season as U of L's coach? So that's so far both publications, Athlon and Phil Steele, that Rick Bozich has covered, have the Cards and the Cats in very similar situations next year as far as their question marks and what they're going to be good at.
So our luck, though, Jeff Lightsey and his toppers are going to be top 25, and we're going to be like 4-8.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And he's going to come in like, hey, what about guys? My tops, guys? And they're going to be like, stop.
Texter, Rig, Chip Traynham will be UK's next 1,000-yard rusher. I hope you're right. He didn't do it at Ohio State. I mean, he looks the part. Don't get me wrong. He transitioned from a linebacker to a running back. He looks the part. Dude looks like a stud, like he can carry the rock, old school Benny Snell style, but I gotta see it. I don't know anything about it. He played very limited minutes. It's the same thing with Brock Vandergrift. Played very limited minutes on a very good football team where guys were just better than him. Chip Traynham is in the exact same situation. He played very limited minutes at Ohio State. You saw him a couple times. He had that game-winning touchdown against Notre Dame. That's all I know about him. And to pretend, and text, I'm not trying to get on you. I'm just trying to be a realist here. Reality check radio, as Lachlan McClain used to say. To sit there and say that I know Chip Traynham is going to rush for 1,000 yards would be disingenuous of me. I don't know he's going to do that. I have no idea. And with the troubles that the offensive line has had, and they have another new offensive coordinator, they have another new offensive line coach, there is a learning curve when you get newness. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right, Texas. I hope Chip Traynham is that dude and can rush for 1,000 yards. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, definitely that's going to happen. It might not. We saw more of Ray Davis than we saw of Chip Traynham. That's why we could be high on Ray Davis last year, because we saw him do it in the SEC. Even though it was Vanderbilt, we saw him rush for 1,000 yards for Vanderbilt. So I was like, okay, if he did that at Vanderbilt, he can do that at Kentucky, because I know Kentucky has better players than Vanderbilt players. So it's easier to say that.
Do they still have their scoreboard hanging by, like...
like a crane?
Yeah, by the crane.
I don't know. I don't know the updates on that.
EA Sports came out with like a photo, and it was like a screenshot from one of the games that they had, and it was like, yeah, like, we have the updated Vanderbilt stadium, and
to where, it's normal.
A typical field, and
right.
All the responses were like, no, like, I want to be playing where the scoreboard's moving with the wind, and
right.
It's held up by two cranes, like all that.
No, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be. And I was like, okay, thank you, Vanderbilt, for trying to be relevant in football. But why did you redo your stadium? Like, seriously, Vanderbilt, why are you redoing your stadium? Nobody cares. All right, a couple more texts here, then we'll get out of here. Let's see here. Hey, Kendrick, they only talked about Tiger and golf was huge, but Tiger was winning. He was winning a lot early on. Let's see here. This is some weird Wednesday text. Think organized churches behind the cover-up. If it gets out that religion may not be what we think, a lot of power and money loss is a good text. Texter, I know who I am. I am a Louisville fan. Let's go. Fantastic. Texter, Waterworld with Kevin Costner was on to something. I like that. Texter, the Book of Enoch. Or the Secret Book of Enoch. I'm reading the regular book of... Actually, there's three books of Enoch. I didn't know that. But there are three books of Enoch. I'm reading the first one, but the other two books are in this as well. And it does a deep dive into the history and the lore of the fallen angels. So there we are. Do you have anything left over here? Oh, Tanner, I did want to ask you this, because I know you're a big NFL guy. Are you worried about Christian? I know you're not a Niners fan. You're a Dolphins fan. But are you worried that Christian McCaffrey is going to be cursed this year because he's on the Madden cover?
Oh, yeah.
And he's had a history of injuries, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I was a little disappointed because the rumors were, it's going to be Travis Kelce. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bring him down.
And then
Madden
I was like,
for Travis Kelce. I'm with
actually,
you.
Actually, it's the nicest guy in the league. And it's like, oh, no.
Right.
I hope he got paid a lot, though, for it. In surgery doesn't cost that much.
Exactly. And
it's going to be bad.
And he tweeted it out, said, lifelong dream come true, hashtag Madden 25 cover. All right. And so Christian McCaffrey's, but I was like you. I was like, how do they not? I totally expected them to put Travis Kelce on it. I'm with you, Tanner.
Yeah.
Especially
with the whole Taylor Swift stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. I thought that was going to be, you could take that one to the bank, as they used to say in the old days. You could take it to the bank that Travis Kelce was going to be on the cover, but no, it's Christian McCaffrey. So hopefully he can dodge that. All right, it's been a fun show today. Thank you to Phil Baker for filling in. Anna Tarullo, she'll be back tomorrow. Thank you to Kendrick Haskins for being a part of the show today. And also, thanks to the texters and everybody listening. It was an awesome show. Fun, weird Wednesday. One of the most in-depth ones we've done yet. We'll continue on that next week. We'll have our normal show tomorrow. Andy Sweeney, The Blitz here on the Roundtable, ESPN 680, 105.7.